Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to Power in the Word. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and as always, it's a blessing and an honor to just be able to come before you again, once again, with a word in season and a word on time. You know, sometimes we just need a right on time topic of discussion, and I am so happy for today's topic. Today's topic is The Secrets Out, Living the Pain of Conditional Love. And we are blessed today because we have author Michelle Hughes with us. And I'm just excited about the fact that this woman of God has agreed to be on my program today. You know that God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. Amen. And he has already preordained some stuff, and we're just walking according to his plan. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. You're worthy to be praised. Lord, there's none like you, and we magnify your name today. Today, Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for what you have already done, what you are doing right now, and what you will yet continue to do. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for grace. We thank you for favor. We thank you, Lord, that you called us into the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, Lord, I ask that you bless this program. Bless every listener, Lord. Bless every person that comes into the chat room. Bless every person that streams. Bless my guest, Michelle Hughes, on today. Bless every caller, Lord. Bless every person that will listen via the archive, Lord, because we know that this is a serious topic, conditional love. My God, living the pain of conditional love. So, Lord, let us, Lord, have words that are seasoned with salt, Lord. And, Father God, let us go forward in your grace. And, Lord, at the end of the day, we will continue to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Save souls, change lives, set the captives free, open the eyes of the blind, Lord, even now as we go forward in this next hour. And we will continually give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that we pray this prayer. Amen and praise God. Hallelujah. God is good and worthy to be praised. Again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and we're coming to you with power in the word. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and I believe that my guest is here. Michelle, you're on the air. Welcome to Power in the Word.
Well, thank you, Pastor Rebecca. I'm so happy to be a part of your show today.
Well, I am so happy that you agreed to be here. You know, I am one of your fans. I don't know if I can say your biggest fan, but I am definitely an avid fan, and I listen to your program daily. And I just want to say that you are a blessing to me with the topics that you bring, the topic contents. But while I was listening, I was exposed to your book, and I wanted to, the Lord put it upon my heart to have you come so that I could talk to you and have you share with the listeners, my listeners, about your book. So I want to just thank you again for taking time out of your very busy schedule to come and be with us on today. Now, I want to just tell people a little bit about you. I don't have your bio, but I know what I know about you. I didn't pull your bio. I want to give you Michelle Hughes' website. The name of her book is The Secrets Out, Living the Pain of Conditional Love. And her website is thesecretsoutsite, SITE.net. And when you go over there, you'll be able to see the bio of this phenomenal woman of God. And I'll just give you a little bit of information that I know about her. I know that she is a woman of God. And since I have met her over the past month, I know that she is a minister of the gospel, and she's also pastored for about 8 years. She pastored the church. And I do realize that she is a beautiful woman with a beautiful spirit, and also a very real, down-to-earth person who doesn't mind taking off the gloves and just keeping it real about some very controversial topics. She is a Blog Talk Radio host here at Blog Talk Radio, and her title of her show is Love, Sex, Marriage, and Relationships. And again, she keeps it very real when she's talking about these topics. And I also know that she does not mind talking about the Lord on her show, talking about God and the Word of God, because we know that there is power in the Word. Amen.
Yes.
So that is what I know about Michelle Hughes. And I am just blessed to know you, Michelle, just blessed to know you.
Thank you.
Now, Michelle, let's talk a little bit about your book. You wrote a book entitled The Secret's Out, Living the Pain of Conditional Love. I first wanted to ask you, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, basically, the book is about it's about my cousin, and my cousin and I were 2 weeks apart. I was older than her, only by 2 weeks. My birthday is July 9th. Her birthday was July 23rd, and basically, it's in memory of her life and what went on in her life. And so after 25 years, I think it was 2006, and it was approaching her 25th year of, you know, remembering her because she died. And I just felt like I wanted to do something in her memory. I was tired of thinking about her, but I just felt like people should learn from being in relationships. And that's probably why I started the show called Love, Sex, Marriage, and Relationships, because people enter relationships and they have no idea what they're doing. They just enter relationships. And in the process, sometimes it can cost you some things. And it cost my cousin her life. And so that's why I do believe it's important how we start our relationships. That's the reason why the book was written, basically, in memory of my cousin.
In memory of your cousin. So I was looking at Amazon. Michelle's book is available on Amazon.com, and I did go over to Amazon, and I just want to read the editorial review, the product description. The Secret's Out, Living the Pain of Conditional Love book is a true story about my cousin who married her true love. She finds out later after marrying him that he is deceitful, a liar, and is controlling. This is a must-read book because it is filled with drama, love, and death. This book also includes a workbook that gives in-depth details on how to choose a mate, what to look for in choosing a mate, why you should stay married, why you should not leave your spouse for adultery, and why you should never stay in an abusive relationship. This is a very informative book that every single engaged couple or married person will gain the secrets to staying happily married. Amen. Praise God. And God bless you to all in the chat room. I thank you all for joining in today. And I just read the editorial description of Michelle Hughes' book, The Secret's Out, Living the Pain of Conditional Love. Now, Michelle, what you don't know is that this topic is very near and dear to my heart, because I have a ministry for women, and I see so many women living the pain of conditional love. And I see that you wrote a workbook to go along with your book. What is it that inspired you to go ahead and put a workbook along with this book? Is this book that's written? Is it written in story form, like a novel, but
it's
a true story?
It's a true story, and basically it's her talking in the book. It's her story, and I basically have her talking through the book because it's her life. And what I didn't want, I didn't want the book to end just on a bad note. I wanted to give people some something to feed off of. So I felt like one day, God just woke me up and says, you know, you need to put something in there that's going to help people to have a better relationship than what happened in your cousin's life. And so I just was led to add the workbook in there in addition to her story. I'd like to read a little bit here. It says that there are at least, and this is coming from my book, Pastor Rebecca, on page 29, and it says here there are at least four signs of a person who has traits of being manipulative and controlling, and they are as follows. First, the person will want you to enter into a quick relationship with them. Second, you will enter a relationship that will lead to committing to a marriage proposal within 30 days to 6 months. Three, they will want you to make a fast commitment to them because they do not want their controlling and manipulative character to be revealed. And fourth, they also do not want you to find out that they have an anger management problem. So, you see, it is important that we take our time in inner relationships.
Amen. Amen. So how long do you, is it ever, though, is there,
yeah.
are there signs, if someone's angry, is it easy for that person to hide, or are there red flags that go up that we should be heeding to show us that someone has an anger management problem?
Well, I also say, in here that, ladies and gentlemen, give yourself 4 seasons before you commit to any relationship. This means you will get to know this person through winter, fall, spring, and summer. See, because what happens is people act different in the winter than they do in the summer. Prime example, a person might become irresistible when it's cold outside. Then when summer comes, you cannot find this person. So you see, this is an alarming notion. But you see, if you don't get to know a person for a full year, generally, and I've heard people who marry and they, beat the odds. But on the whole, I do believe that you should at least know a person for at least a full year.
I agree. I agree with that. And what is the criteria? You also have some relationship tips in your book, and I think that's awesome. When we're looking for a mate, you mentioned that there are questions that we should ask, and there are things that we should be looking for in that relationship. So before we go into actually living that pain, because some people are already in it, there are some people that I emailed today, some of my listeners, that are already living that pain or that conditional love. What are some of the things, before we go into that, what are some of the things that those who are not in that relationship can look for, they should be looking for in a quality mate?
Well, I have 12 truths that I think that a person should at least know about the person, and that number one is that, are they born again or saved? Number two, do they have a job or business? So those who are talking in the chat room saying, do they have a job? That was number two.
Amen.
And number three, how many times have you been married? How many children? Four, do they have a church? Do they tithe, give offerings? Are they actively volunteering in the church? Five, how do they deal with stress? Do they walk in love? How easily do they forgive? Are they a liar? Do they get angry all the time? Do they have a temper? Number six, I list, do they want you to have sex before marriage? How often? Do they take you out on dates? Do they buy you special gifts? How do they show you they love you? Seven, how mature are they? Do they have a sense of humor? Do they have a violent streak? Eight, do they know how to relax? What do you talk about? Are they romantic? Do they like you as a person? How important do you feel about each other? Are you friends? Do you tell each other secrets about each other? Number nine, are they responsible? Do they pay their bills on time? Do they save money? Or do they take vacations? 10, how do they treat friends and family members? 11, can you trust them? How committed are they to your relationship? Do they understand what commitment means in their relationship? And number 12 is, do they make good decisions? And those are the 12 truths that I believe that sometimes we need to, and there's a lot of other things that I add in here, why am I asking these questions? I mean, it's just the things that I go into in the workbook, but these are just some of the 12 truths that I list that I do believe that you should ask a person before you even begin to, consider them even as a potential partner.
And the shame of it is that a lot of us, I see Marcus Boston in the chat room. Welcome, Marcus. And Marcus says that he needed your book before he got married years ago.
Well, I'm sorry, Marcus.
He needs your book before he got married years ago. Go ahead, Michelle.
Well, now, see, it's not too late, Marcus, because there's another chance. And so now you get the opportunity to read it before you go into your next marriage. And so, and that's a good thing. You learn from that marriage, and now, it'll...
pregnancy. They're you know,
and are you blaming? Is he blaming the mother on losing four wives or what?
See, now anyone who has gone through four wives, they got a lot of issues. Those four wives can't be wrong. So the finger really has to start looking back at that person. But you know, I mean, you know, this is serious. I know that we have a lot of fun going on. Marcus, are you married now? You know, because the thing about Marcus, Michelle, is Marcus divorced?
Mm-hmm.
He's divorced now. So Marcus now, Marcus is saying the person that had the four wives is the problem because he was very abusive. And Marcus is single now. Okay, so so Michelle, now, Marcus, you heard Michelle. So go and buy that book so that you can know going into your next relationship and your next marriage, because if you're in relationship, now you are in you're on Power in the Word, and I know that, Marcus, I know you're a man of God, so if you're in a relationship, that relationship should be headed towards marriage. Michelle, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do believe that, and I think Marcus joking, but you know Marcus.
I know he's playing.
Marcus, he has a book out too, but you know, I do believe that the problem is that we don't go into relationships thinking about unconditional needs being met, as opposed of you know basing it upon you know conditional love as opposed to unconditional love, and you know real love is I care how you feel. Conditional love, and I'm reading this from my book on page 126. It says, you know, real love is I care how you feel. Conditional love is I like how you make me feel. Conditional love is what people give to us when we do what they want. And it's the only kind of love that most of us have ever known. People have liked us more when we make them feel good, or at least when we did nothing to inconvenience them. In other words, we have to buy conditional love from people around us. It is critical that we be able to distinguish between real love and conditional love. And I think that's the problem. We think that real love is conditional love, and conditional love is real love. And I don't even think we really know what love is.
Oh,
and that's the problem.
That is the problem. And that's a good time for me to read this from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, because you know that it's the love chapter, and we read it at weddings and everything, and so many people have this read at their weddings, but we really need to take heed to this word. And I'm reading from the NIV. It says 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I speak in the language of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy but can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. And here it talks about what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Love never fails. So I just wanted to read that just for some of the single people out there who are listening and who are thinking about going into a relationship, that chapter, along with Michelle Hughes' book, is going to help you to go into your next relationship. And I believe we have a caller who may have a question for Michelle. Area code 773, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Marcus L. Boston, and I am very glad to be on your show today, Pastor Rebecca. Especially talking about this book. I need this book. I'm going to buy this book this week.
Marcus,
I am not about to be abused again. I need this book.
But you know what, Marcus? I want to hear. You know, how? So are you saying you were in an abusive relationship?
Yes.
I'm gonna pull it out of you. I'm getting ready to pull it out of you.
Oh, wait a minute. Is that my call waiting?
No. You stay right
stay
here.
Stay on this line, Marcus. You need to stop it.
Me.
you say right there.
Okay. Well, you know what? I have an article, and it says here that in my book, Marcus, you know, you're trying to pull all this stuff out of my book, so you won't have to buy that book this weekend.
No, I'm going to buy your book.
Okay, Marcus,
okay. I'm going to buy your book.
But you know what? It says here by Dennis Rainey, is your hope for a lasting marriage? A woman once shared with me her view of marriage. She said, it is though I'm scanning a desert with a pair of binoculars. Everywhere I look, I see bodies screwed about in various stages of death and dying, divorce, isolation, abusive, and decayed relationships, all types of devastation. What is this? Y'all know my glasses, y'all. After viewing this, I asked myself, why would I want to begin that journey? And that's the thing that most people are asking themselves. You know, probably why I've never married. I've never been married. And, you know, I think, you know, it goes on in page 117 talking about the results of high divorce rate statistics. And so, you know, when we start thinking about more people are divorcing than staying in marriages, why would most people even want to get married? And I do believe that if we don't have a relationship, as we were talking about today, you know, understanding who you are as a Christian, I don't think most people even know who they are as a Christian. Someone said in the chat room that they know people who are not saved who have better marriages. And I've seen people like that because I do believe that they use some of the principles that will keep a marriage going. But the problem is, I do believe that in order for a marriage to last, and it may last, but they have their problems, and, you know, I think it's the Holy Spirit that comes in and really sanctifies that marriage and make it whole, that you understand each other. And when you find yourself getting into, you know, disagreements, if you don't have a person who can sensibly sit down and you can talk with them, you're going to have problems. I just believe that. You know, I just think you're going to have problems.
And Coconut Juice has a question. Coconut Juice wants to know, is it really possible to love someone unconditionally, Michelle?
I think that with the Spirit of Christ in you, yeah, it is. But without the Spirit of Christ, I think it's very difficult because I know for my own self, before I got saved, you know, I wanted my way about everything. It's the Spirit of Christ that teaches you through the Word of God that you can't operate out of selfishness. And most people want their way, and that's what conditional love is, wanting your way about everything, wanting that person to please you, do it my way, you know. And some men think that when they become the head of their home, that means that they can also beat their wives, abuse their wives, and think that they're right because they're the head of their home. And the same thing with some wives feel as if, you know, because depending on where they've been in their home, where the mother, they may have seen their mother cuss their dad out all the time or, you know, fight their dad. And so when they get into a relationship with a man, and a man may come, he may be more laid back, don't like to fight, you know, very understanding. And they come wanting to fight. They start, they pick a fight with the person. And
right.
So it just depends on, that's why I do believe you have to find out what you're getting yourself into. And I don't think we understand what we're hooking our lives up to. We're so busy getting in the bed until we forget that God says don't be fornicating in the first place. And we thought he was saying that because he was trying to hold our good from us. No, he wasn't. He was trying to keep you stable and having a level head so that you won't get so engrossed in the flesh and that until you forget who that person is. And I believe that's why most relationships go crazy because, you know, they know a lot about that person's body. If you ask that person how they look in the nude, they could tell you from square one to square two, you know.
Right, right.
But if you ask them about the person, what their likes are, what their dislikes are, they probably couldn't tell you. And that's the problem. That is the problem. And so when we understand that fornication has its reasons and, you know, how why it's supposed to be done in the confines of a marriage, because it keeps the marriage going. It sanctifies that marriage. Even the Bible says it consummates the marriage. And it's not for just freedom, just to go out and carouse and, you know, and do what you want, you know, when you feel like it. You know, let me go have sex with Joe, and you got your husband over here. Or let me go have sex today with Mary because my wife getting on my nerves, you know. That's not what it's all about. And when we understand what sex is all about, then I think we'll have better homes. And we're not teaching well in the church. We're not teaching well in the church. We just say, oh, yeah, you know, come on in here, have counseling with my pastor. Come and have counseling with the pastor, you know. And then the pastor teaching, you know, you're learning things, but you're not learning the things that's going to keep that marriage stable. Talk about issues that's going to pertain to that marriage. And so I just believe that we're teaching the people wrong. I really do.
And that's a lot of churches. I thank God for our church and my husband and I. We went through 8 sessions of premarital counseling before we got married. We were not allowed to get married until we cover everything: intimacy, financing, raising children, prayer, all of that stuff had to be covered before we got married, and we still had issues. My husband is here. Pastor Anthony, you're on the air. Welcome to Power in the Word.
Amen. To God be the glory. It's a blessing to be amongst you today.
Yes, yes. I'm interviewing Michelle Hughes. She wrote a book, The Secret's Out, Living the Pain of Conditional Love. And I know you were on the air when you just heard her talk about how the church, the church is really not dealing with the real issues before people get married, and talking about sex and unity and marriage. Do you have anything to say about what she just said, or anything that you've heard since you've been on the air, or do you have any questions for our guests?
Well, first of all, I want to say congratulations. I've heard a lot about you through my wife, and I can't wait to read this book. But one of the things that I love about what's happening now is that the dialogue and the discussion is going forth as it pertains to marriage and family, and it is something that the church now is forced to address.
Yes.
You know, Rebecca, you and I, if people look at our background, even from our families that we grew up in, and also both being once divorced and now having a successful marriage, statistics would say that we should not be having the kind of marriage that we do have today. But one of the things that your guests really struck a chord with me is the fact that we both knew Christ.
Amen.
And know Christ. And we built our marriage on what it says in Matthew 7. But again, churches have to cover a lot, and sometimes the marriages go by the wayside, and you would have to be blind to not think that a lot of fornication and sexual immorality is not happening in our churches.
That's right.
So I just thank God for this book. I pray that, you know, this voice gets out, that we need to do better as it pertains to the church and marriages, because people are looking at our marriages.
Yes.
Well, you know what, Pastor, I forgot your last name, Anthony. I do believe that if you listen to the different broadcasts that are being heard on different television stations, from Clefo Dollar, I hear him being more open and more candid about his life and where he's been. And this is something I've always done when I had my church, was that, and that's probably why I drew a lot of young people, because I was honest about my life. I was honest. I got really tired about people wanting people to look up to them in their position as the pastor and not come real with the people. And we were dealing with real people. See, I don't, the people that I minister to are not people who are educated, even though I'm educated and all that. I deal with the people who they come from. I mean, really nothing. And they didn't need me talking about education and where I've been. They needed me to tell them, you know, how I got there and then how, where I've been, okay? And so, and I just believe that you have to be real in the pulpit. And the hallelujahs, thank you, Jesus, that's cool, that's fine, you know? And I think we need to do it. We have to teach them how to pray, you know, how to get a prayer through. But before we can get the prayer through, we got to get them right to hear the throne of God. And until they understand what it is to walk with God, they don't have a clue. And in the black community, when I found that was that my church went from adult to, I started just, you know, my ministry is really youth. But one day I looked up, I ain't had none but youth in my church, okay? I had no adults, the people who were helping me. And I don't know what happened to the adults. They were just sending their kids, and I became a place I thought like a babysitting place. And I said, you know, that's fine, because they don't know I'm in a youth anyway, more than adults. And so I took those youth, and those kids would leave the basketball rims, and, you know, I would have my van, and I would go pick them up, and they would bring their friends. They would leave the basketball rim. Mind you, I was having church in a school building for them to come in to play ball, but they would leave the rims to come and hear the word of God. And
Amen.
So the only requirement was that, I said, before you walk and play ball, because my thing was getting our black boys off the street, because they were going to jail. See, that's what I'm talking about, getting our black boys who are going to be head of homes. When we understand it's not about the women, it's about women having good men, until we get our black boys off the street so they can teach our women and lead our women, we're headed for destruction. And those black boys will come in, and they didn't have a clue about God. I was so floored, because, you know, back in the day, that was unheard of. People not knowing about Jesus, God. So I had to go all the way back, and then I was having problems, and my sisters are school teachers, so I had to go to them and say, wait, you know, I'm having trouble. I'm about to hit these kids up. I'm about to go to jail myself, okay? Because I don't have no kids coming telling me what to do. So they start telling me how to basically get order in my church like they do in the classroom, and so I had to use their little methods, and it worked.
Amen.
And because I had been away for a little while, and I'm like, oh, these are new kids. There's something wrong with me. And so I'm saying that to say that to you, Pastor Anthony. I don't know your last name, but
Pastor
anyway,
Anthony is what we call him.
Oh, y'all call him Pastor Anthony. Okay,
we
good.
Call him Pastor Anthony.
Oh, y'all call him Pastor Anthony, because, you know, I was
That's
talking
right.
about that. You know, I mean, I don't know what's up with that, but anyway, we ain't going to talk about that today. But okay, Pastor Anthony, I like you. you are my brother.
We have
I got some issues, and we ain't going to talk about that issue today.
But anyway. Oh, go ahead. You want to finish your thought? Because we have another caller that wants to talk to you, too.
Okay, but I just wanted to say that, you know, I just think that it's time for the church to get real with its people so that we can draw people, not unto man, but unto Christ. And that's, you know, that's what I just believe.
Amen. Amen. And we have Evangelist Luciano on the air with us today. Welcome to Power in the Word.
Praise God. God bless you, Pastor Rebecca.
God bless you.
Amen. I hope everything's okay with you, your ministry, your family today.
All is well, and God is being glorified, so it's a good thing.
Hey, amen. And I also like to salute Sister Hughes.
Yes, Michelle.
God bless you, woman of God.
Thank you.
I call for, and it's amazing that you are talking about this topic, because I was married before for 9 years, and things didn't work out. You know, I'm a man that takes the things of God real seriously, and those that know me, I'm like that. I like to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. I like to have my two feet on God, on the things of God, and so the relationship really was broken into that. Right now, I'm single. I've been single. Well, so you're talking about like about 5 or 6 years I've been single. So I met this sister in Christ. She lives in Jersey, and we are talking and everything. But she's and this is what I need your help with, because again, I have to watch, I have to protect and watch the anointing that God has put in my life.
Right.
And I have to do things the right way, because I know God is taking me to places that I need a strong woman near me. And so my question is, really two questions. Number one is, she's very aggressive in the sense of that she wants to be with me in the sense of marriage. She wants something. She wants me to love her the same way that she loves me, or feel the same way that she feels about me. But I don't. Because I'm still waiting. I'm still looking for something. I'm not satisfied with what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing in her life. Now, like I said, I'm holding back. I'm putting my emotion in deep check. You know, I'm crucifying it daily. And that's one of my questions. How what should I do? Because she really, really cares about me, but I don't feel like that. So what do you think I should do?
Okay, I'm not understanding. You said you're not feeling like she's feeling about you, or you're trying to say sex is interfering. It's coming into play. Is that what you're saying?
No, not even that. Because I'm here in New York City. She lives in Jersey.
Okay.
But it's like like for a perfect example, I'm gonna see her tomorrow for the first time. I've been talking to her online for over almost a year.
Okay.
And so I'm gonna see her for the first time, and she.
Oh, for the first time.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's no physical contact. There's no visual.
Praise
contact.
The Lord.
So I'm keeping my distance, you know.
How long have you known her?
Over a year.
1 year, and you have never seen her?
I saw her online. We talked through video chat and everything, but physically, you know, touching her and talking to her, we have not.
And she's in
love? Can I ask you a question? Go ahead with your question.
Is she in love? She's in love with you?
She says she is.
Okay, go ahead, Michelle.
I don't work that way. I don't work that way.
Well, let me ask you something. What is your greatest fear?
What I experienced on my last marriage happened again. That's my fear.
Yeah, because that's what I hear. You know, one thing I'd say kudos to you, you know, is the fact that, first of all, you've given it a whole year, and you've just talked to her, and I think that's great because you have weighed the situation. You're weighing it against your past marriage, and you're looking at certain things, and you got some question marks up right now. But what I would say to you is the first thing I would do is make sure where she's staying, you know, make sure she doesn't stay in your home, and then when you get together, you need to talk about the things that concern you, because you've been with her long enough to talk about your concerns, things that you think that you have some issues with her right now, some things that you see that transpired from your wife that you're seeing in her, because she's a female, and that's just how we are. And so, but if you don't deal with those issues that you see in her, because, I mean, those are the things that's going to just alert you immediately, because those are the things that you're concentrating on, because these are the things that broke your heart the most. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so if you don't... Uh-huh.
No, definitely what you're saying is true, because, I mean, we don't have time, but I mean, I would... Put it this way, I have such a fortress on my mind concerning about going into another relationship.
Right.
That, you know... I mean, the Bible says that it's not good for man to be alone. You know, and especially in the ministry that I have, that I do travel, and I'm also human. I'm not divine. I'm
but
not
it's
God.
Not good for a man to be miserable either.
Yeah, I know.
Right. And Evangelist Luciano, I just need to say this to you. This is important. This is going to be very important for you, along with the advice that Michelle Hughes has given you, and maybe you can glean something from her book also. But this is going to be very important for you. You need to be healed. You have to be healed from the hurt of your last relationship or your it was a marriage.
Yeah.
Was it a
yeah.
You need to be healed from that. You know, whatever the whatever occurred during that, you have to be released. There's a release that has to take place. In other words, she hurt you. You know, she hurt you, disappointed you, let you down in many ways, and you're wounded. And in order for you to move forward with the next relationship, you have to be healed from this relationship, and you have to release her by forgiving her, and giving yourself a blank slate so that you can start over, so that now you're not looking at the next woman through squinted eyes saying, oh my, you know, is she going to be just like the last one? So be take the time to let the Lord heal your broken heart. Amen.
You know, amen. I believe what you're saying, Pastor Rebecca. And I mean, put it this way, you know, it's been over 5 years. I forgive her, and I mean, she doesn't live here in New York City, you know. But the thing is that, you know, like I said, I have this time. You know, I learned. A lot in my relationship with her, 9 years being with her, I learned a lot, and like I said, I'm just very more cautious than before. Not because it was like I'm wounded, because that, I mean, I believe that God took that away when I when I really cried to God, when I mean, if you only knew what I went through and how God really totally transformed me. I just had my, like I said, my fortress protected, you know, God protected me.
And you should. And you have to, and I'm going to say this too, you have to put your trust in the Lord. See, I was hurt before I married my husband, and I didn't trust any man, but I had to trust God not to let him hurt me any more than I can handle. But the other thing is, if you have red flags or caution signs about this relationship that you're in, you're a man of God, and you have the spirit of discernment. So if there seems to be something wrong, there may very well be something wrong. That is, since you are healed. And another thing is, a person can pretend to be anything that they want to be or they need to be online, especially because you don't get to see them face to face. You don't get to be in their presence. So I can type anything and be whoever I need to be. But like you said, something is seeping through to show you the true character of this woman. So be very prayerful and proceed with caution.
Yeah. I am. I thank the Lord for giving me a vision that I could see. Not in my natural, but I could see in the realm of the spirit. And like I said, she's throwing that at me and everything. But I said to her, you know, I just want to be friends.
Amen.
Well, you know
Amen.
What? It sounds like to me, can I just say this to,
yes,
to you? I, what I'm sensing, and I might, you know, might not be right, but, you got some question marks about her. There's something she's saying to you that you're wondering about, and don't let those things go away from you, because you need to keep those in the forefront of your head, because that's what Pastor Rebecca is saying. That's a discernment that's going up in your spirit, because we shouldn't allow everybody to come into our life. Secondly, you know, you have a church home. You're going to bring this lady to your church home. So there could be fear. Remember that there are women who are believing for you at your church. And so if you're going to bring her to your church, just know that you may have some problems after she leaves. So, I mean, these are things that you could be, you know, going through in your head, because, when a man brings a woman into his home or to his church, because that you have a church, right?
No.
Thought you said you had a church. You have a ministry.
Yeah, a ministry.
Okay, so you're on the road then, right?
Yes, I'm always traveling, and the reason that's why, you know, I'm praying to God if this is the one, because I mean, I got prayer petition before God. Like I said, I need a woman, a prayerful woman, and again, there's a lot of things that she's saying and she's doing that I'm like, you know, wait, I can't, you know, this is not it.
Can I ask you a question? She wants to stay in your home, right?
No.
Okay, so, you know, you say red flags is going up, she's asking you questions.
Is she
trying to find out about your finances or, you know, or?
No, she has nothing like that. The other thing is that so she's talking, she's expressing how she cares about me and everything. And she said I'll be a good wife. You know, the whole, you know, the violent story and, you know, all that. And I'm not emotional like that. You know, I don't, you know, melt down like that. I'm a very strong character person. And
well, I think she's out of place. And let me tell you why.
Mm.
What do you mean by
that? Yeah, because the reason why I say she's out of place, I think these are the things that women do wrong and they don't understand. You never tell a man how much you care until he cares. You tells you how much he cares. You follow me?
Yeah.
And that's what the Bible talks about. You know, when you think about the Bible goes on and on and on how the man should love his wife over and over again. He never commands that woman to love the wife, to love the man, but to honor and cherish and adore the man. So she's trying to provoke you into loving her. And if you're not there, just stay in your grounds.
Amen.
That's one thing I'm going to tell you, stand your grounds. Because, you know, it's just like a decision to come to Christ. I mean, good, she's coming, but this is not the end of the world. Welcome her. You need to know her. You need to know her spirit, not over the phone, but now you need to know who she is in person. So what I want you to do is let her talk, and don't you interfere.
Yeah.
Because she's going to spill out who she is, and don't let her know who you are. Because then she'll know how to deal with you. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
See, you're the man of God. And see, remember, when we are the men and women of God, we can't spill everything to them before we get to know each other. And so what I'm saying to you is, because if you know what your ministry is like, you know that you're going to be away, you got to trust her. So you need to know as much as you can about her, just as much as she should be wanting to know as much as she can about you. That's what I would tell you. So, you know, don't look at it like, okay, she's coming in town. Long she's not staying in your home, you know, she's staying in a hotel, right?
No. It's just like a one-day thing. She's coming over, and then she's leaving the same night, you know?
Oh, okay. Well, fine. Well, just enjoy the day. You know what I mean? It's no big deal. Just don't do it. I mean, you ain't say you're going to give her a ring tomorrow, did you?
No.
I mean, you know, just take it in stride. You know, take one day at a time. You know, you if you need some help, I would love to counsel you. I mean, if you need some more help, you know my website, you know, blogtalkradio.com/lovesexmarriage. I mean, love, sex, relationships. And, you know, you can always email me. I will help you out in any way I can. But what I would tell you, because you need to go into this as cautiously as you can, you don't have anything but time. Time is on your side. Never let anybody rush you into anything.
Yes.
That's what I talk about. Because the moment you do that, now they're controlling you. And a woman should never control the man she's getting with. Never, ever. Nor should a man want to control the woman he's getting with. Never, ever.
You see, and the thing is, you know what? Like I said, the reason why I have a lot of red flags because I won't use the word test, but I will see, like, you know, like for example, I have a MySpace account, and majority of the women in MySpace, majority of people in MySpace are women of God that I communicate, and I talk, and I share. Now I noticed that I don't know how I noticed it, but I noticed that she was looking at MySpace account to find out how many female friends I have.
Well, we're going to take another caller, but I want to say that a lot of women would do that, Evangelist Luciano. Area code 303, you're on the air. You have a question or a comment for what Evangelist Luciano is talking about, or even a question for our author, Michelle Hughes?
Well, hi, Pastor Rebecca. Hi, Michelle. And hi.
Hey, Lauren.
God bless you.
Lauren, I am actually listening to him and listening, you know, in the chat room as well. But this is one thing I would suggest, because there are a lot of red flags. Anytime you get red flags, there's probably a characteristic of something that God has delivered you from a past relationship that is in this person. So God don't want you to go back, because you've already been there before. That's familiar ground, and that's what he delivered you from. So he's probably telling you, you have all these red flags, her character is like a familiar character. It's just in a different person.
A familiar spirit. Amen. I agree with that. And the thing about it is, Evangelist Luciano, listen, when you meet that girl, that woman who's the one for you, and you know that's your wife, just like Boaz knew that Ruth was his wife, you're going to know that that's your wife. You're going to know that that is your wife. Right, honey, Pastor Anthony?
Oh, absolutely, and I'm glad that he is healed from his previous relationship, because anytime you enter into a marriage covenant, there's a degree of vulnerability. There's a degree of trust. But the ultimate trust has to be in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that he will allow that marriage to be what he wants it to be and evolve into something that's going to bring his name glory in the earth. Because we do have to move beyond, and I'm glad, like, you know, Brother Luciano was saying, he's saying, I'm all about the Lord, and I don't put my emotions out there. Most men can do that.
Yes.
We really can't control our emotions a lot more than women. And we look to some degree from the natural mind of things. And I heard the comments earlier. I just want to address this about the conditional or unconditional love.
Yes.
As far as it pertains to marriage or relationships. Mm-hmm. But the reality, I believe, says that we all go into a marriage wanting something. And we have certain expectations. Even though the degree of unconditional love is there, that there are conditions in which we even fall in love with the other person.
But then there are people who go to the extreme, and that's what we're talking about.
Okay, okay. I just wanted
remember,
to kind of...
Yeah,
yeah,
we all come... We all are. I always tell people we all are takers.
Okay.
Everybody takes something.
It's human nature, absolutely.
It's human nature, but it's when we get into the abuse, see, and that's when it becomes abusive. When people not only do they come with their conditions, they come in with trying to change you, and that's when you can't appreciate me for who I am, and now it's not going to work because now I got to try to please you, be myself. You know, that I please you, be myself. You know what I'm trying to say? We all, you know, try to please people. But it's when you are in an abusive relationship, there are people who try to beat you into submission.
Mm.
Do you follow me, Pastor Anthony?
Amen.
You know, there
yes,
is a difference. And, you know, or when a person comes in and don't want you to leave them. That's what happened to my cousin. And she ended up getting killed because she was leaving. And he said, no, you can't leave me. And he did this with a second wife, too. And that's how we find out he killed my cousin, to be truthful. So what I'm trying to say is that, no, there are people who are really sick in their minds. They're sick in their minds, and you really have to understand what you're dealing with. And if you don't let those red flags go up, you're going to end up in a miserable situation.
Absolutely.
See, you know, you follow me? You know, because, see, you and Pastor Rebecca, you realize you both have been married previously. You knew the pitfalls, what not to go into, what you could tolerate. See, I don't think we understand what we can tolerate and what we can't tolerate. We just tolerate whatever. We just go into situations and we don't have any perimeters. We just go in and, you know, letting our flesh lead us, let our minds lead us, and we don't really let the Spirit of God truly reign in our spirit.
Amen.
You
Amen.
See what I'm saying? And we don't let the Spirit of God reign and lead you and guide you. This is what Evangelist Luciano, what he's going through. Somewhere, he's got a common spirit down, get out the flesh, and allow the Spirit of truth to reign and let him, you know, not be anxious for nothing. I mean, we just got to get to the point where we're not anxious about a relationship. We just know, as Pastor Rebecca said, that when it comes, you'll know. It'll flow. It'll be peace. It won't be, not saying you won't have problems, that you have to work out things. That's good. Because you got to work out stuff before you get married. That's what people don't do. They don't work out those issues that need to be worked out before you go down that aisle. Because we all want to live in this bubble like, oh, she's perfect, she's cute, she's this, she's that. And then when we don't see those things, we get frustrated. Sometimes we don't really want to see that the person is not perfect.
Amen. Amen. And what?
That's
what
a wonderful observation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that gets us in trouble, too. Because we you know, the church has built up this wall that, you know, all we have to do is say, glory to God, praise the Lord, and that's your mate. No, it doesn't work like that. You know, there are people with attitude problems, women, men. There are men who have anger problems. They're vicious. They're mean. There are people who are mean.
Yeah, and I believe that some of that comes out, and that's why I wanted to have you on the program today, Michelle, about with your book, because I think people need, especially if you're considering marriage, that you need to read a book like this, because this man was abusive to the point of murder, where he actually killed your cousin. And, you know, so often we go past, we push past all of the red flags that come up. And the Lord is showing, I believe in most cases, the Lord is showing us that person is not the one, but we keep moving forward. And a lot of times, like you said, we get involved with the sex. Sex comes into the picture. And once you start having sex with someone and you're
That's
not
it.
Married to that person,
That's
then
it.
Your emotions are all tied in, and there's a spiritual connection being made. And it's hard to pull out of that thing.
Well, why
so,
is it that you and Pastor Anthony are together?
Why are we together?
Because you're connected. You consummated your marriage. When you said I do to him, you consummate that marriage.
Yes.
To glue. And what we try to do, we try to minimize sex. Sex is good for a marriage.
Oh, it's real good for marriage. It really
it's
is.
It's very good, okay?
Yeah, it's
and,
a
but
good
what we,
thing. God
it's
created.
A real good thing.
Yes.
And that's what keeps that man, you know, there with you and you with him. And when we take it out of the confines of marriage, that's when we destroy what God was trying to tell us. Don't fornicate before marriage. You know, 1 Corinthians, it talks about that. Paul was trying to tell people, don't jump the gun. And a lot of times we jump the gun, and women will try to get men to jump the gun because they know, oh, if I get him in a sec, I got him. And a lot of times that's true. You get him in a sec, you got him. Because, you know, that's what the marriage does. That's why you're supposed to be married to that man. So we're taking what was ordained for marriage, and we're taking it, trying to make it good in a single relationship. It's not going to work then. It's not going to work now. And it's not going to ever work because that's what the Bible says. And until we live it according to what the Bible's saying, we're going to always keep frustrating ourselves. I do believe that I thank God for my life and where I've been and where I am today. And I do believe that the reason why we are frustrated with relationships and not understanding is because we want to believe that every person we meet, because they say, quote unquote, I'm a Christian, that they're saved. And they might be saved, but they haven't been regenerated. I keep saying that because there's some people who have not been regenerated from sex. There's some people who have not been regenerated from anger. There's some people who have not been regenerated from lust. And that lust demon can carry up you into a marriage, and you be lusting after every man come after you. A man look at you, you be giving him Google eyes. You know what I'm saying? You know how
yeah.
we do that thing?
Yeah.
You know, I know how to get a man to like me.
Yeah.
It ain't hard. But
yeah,
do I want to do it that way, or do I want to do it God's way? And that's what I'm talking about. There is a season. I believe that people need to just come away from everything and get you together. If it means 10 years, 5 years, 15 years, stop counting the years. Count, am I healed? Am I well for another individual? We're going around here messing up people up. We just mess up people because we want somebody. And then we, you know, think everybody should be with us, and everybody shouldn't be with us because we're not together ourselves. We just want somebody to love us and want somebody to make love to us and tell me how great I am, how beautiful I am, or how handsome I am and how great a man I am. You know, get out of that craziness and get into the Lord. Get into the Lord and let him heal you from yourself. And, you know, Pastor Anthony, you made a very good point. We all bring selfishness into a relationship because it all started in the Garden of Eden. And if we think that we're going to be perfect, what I'm saying, it doesn't mean that I'm perfect. It means that I'm growing towards perfection.
Amen.
But see, most of us don't even know that we need help. That's what I'm screaming out to the rooftop. You need help. And you don't even know it. You think, you're not healed yet. And that's what Pastor Rebecca is telling even evangelists here. We don't know if he's totally healed from his marriage because he's seeing stuff that he's seen in the previous person or somebody else.
That's one thing I love about what you're saying is that, and the callers have really reassured him that because he is a man of God and he has the spirit of discernment, the Holy Spirit is speaking and dealing with him.
Yeah.
Pastor Rebecca and myself have counseled couples, and you're so on point where you say it's an infatuation, it's the lust after one another, why people have gotten married. And we've counseled couples that went on with the wedding, went on with the marriage, and the red flags were all over the place. So I love the fact that, you know, in your book, I pray, because we are in such a sexual, immoral, you know, country, that you do have some formulas for the people who think they can't put their flesh under subjection.
That's right.
And I want to also add that we do have another phone line open. You can call in if you want to talk to Michelle Hughes, and then we're going to be closing out. I just want to give you the number, 646-652-4832. But I want to talk about this marriage thing, because there are people who are married now, and they're living conditional love. They're living the pain of conditional love. What, Michelle, does your book say to these people who are already married, they're already in there, and they're maybe not being physically abused, but they're being verbally abused, and they don't know what to do. They're dealing with this pain daily, on a daily basis. How does your book speak to them?
Well, I list questions that I think that as a couple you need to ask each other. You know, a lot of times we just don't, I've seen marriages say that, and people don't believe us, but there are people who are not sleeping with their mates. I mean, it's been years, and they've even, you know, and I'm saying, where do you think your husband is going? I don't care if he's old, young, whatever, okay? When we stop being intimate, I'm not saying there are cases where, you know, sometimes things don't work like it used to work and stuff, but you should never stop being intimate with your mate, never. Never give that power over to another woman. And I'm serious about this. And these are things that we don't talk about in the church. We just think it's just going to go away. And so in the book, I give questions that people need to ask themselves. If you are in an abusive relationship, there are things that you need to, you know, begin to talk about. Go get some help. Go get counseling. Okay? Nobody should be in an abusive relationship. And if you're in a physical abusive relationship, I say leave immediately.
Yeah.
Do not stay
Amen.
In a physically
Amen.
Abusive home, because you never know. That might be your last day that you see the light of day. So that's what I would tell anyone. And, you know, I get a little passionate about this because it really goes to home, because I see so many homes that are faking it. And I just hate to hear that stuff. You know, people are like, oh, yeah, my husband and my your husband don't love you, and you don't love your husband. Y'all need some help.
Yes. And I don't believe enough people go for counseling even.
No,
I don't think, yeah.
You know what? They don't trust the pastor. They don't trust the pastor. Okay? Because, you know, a lot of times when people are going to get help, you hear all your business all in the church.
They
so where do you go?
On that next Sunday. Yeah, that's true.
See? And that's the same thing, you know, so you don't go to the pastor. Go to somebody. Go pay. Get some help. Go to somebody who you trust.
Well, unless you go to my church. If you come to New Creation, you can come to Pastor Anthony and myself. We have a marriage focus group on one Saturday every month where we really deal with these issues in relationships and in marriage. And again, you should have counseling before you get married. And even after you get married, get involved in a marriage enrichment group. Most churches, your church should have a marriage enrichment ministry where they're dealing with the nuts and bolts of being in that marriage, because it's a level of accountability that comes with that. So, but if you don't trust your pastor, again, you might be in the wrong church if you can't even.
if you don't trust
your pastor.
And I think, you know, Pastor Rebecca and Pastor Anthony here, you know, you guys live in New Jersey. And, you know, hey, give your church out. Listen, if I had to fly there, drive there, whatever.
Well, fly on over.
You know what I'm saying? I would get to their church, you know, because it's so important. Now, I counsel people myself. And what I do, even though I'm a single woman, I usually bring in someone to counsel with me. When it's a man, I bring in a man when I counsel weddings. You know, because I'm a single woman, I want to hear a man's point of view. I want them to hear a man's point of view. And I don't know it all. You
Amen.
See? And I think women need to know that you need to get counseling from a man to know a man's point of view. I can tell a man what a woman feels, and a man can tell a woman what a man feels. And so that's the whole point in having two people coming in and just not a man counseling you. I think sometimes the way, because most churches are led by men, and I think just for a man to counsel a woman, I don't think that's spiritually wisdom, personally. I think they need two people to be their counseling. You have to bring somebody in who you respect, or one of your ministers. But they need two perspectives on marriage, especially if you're talking about marriage. I just believe that. And the marriage that I've counseled, they're doing well, because we deal with the issues. We deal with their issues. Sometimes these people have lived together. And I tell them, listen, y'all living together. Y'all can't be living together talking about y'all saved. You got to move. Do something. So then they tell me, well, you know, they can't afford it. Because most times people live together because they can't afford it. People are moving together because they can't afford to live by themselves today. Did y'all know that? So people are moving in together just to make ends meet. Okay? So then, you know, and it's a sad situation what's going on today.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that's another excuse
to begin to cohabitate
because you can find a female roommate if you're a female and a male roommate if you're a man. So we not definitely, Michelle and I and the rest of us, we're not giving you an excuse to go and say, okay, I'm getting ready to shack up because times are hard.
These are the excuses that they're using, though.
Yeah,
you know, we can't, you know, why are you going to move in with your boyfriend? But that's what I'm trying to say. They move in with their boyfriends. And, you know, so that's why you have a whole lot of live-ins today because, you know, they decided, well, you know, well, then, you know, well, just move on in with me and then we could just, you know. And that's where the beginning of failure starts. And then they get married and they're trying to figure out, well, my marriage is up in the air. Well, look how you started. You started wrong. See, I don't understand how we think we're going to start wrong and this is going to be fabulous. People start right and they have issues. Now, how are you going to just start all the way wrong and think it's going to be so fantastically loving, caring? Not too many of them end up that way. I can guarantee you.
Right.
So
now, Michelle's book is The Secret's Out, Living the Pain of Conditional Love. And we're talking about avoiding going into the relationship first. If you have any red flags, if you have any hesitancy, don't go in. Just don't go in. Just wait. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And we're also talking about getting out of abusive relationships. And also on Michelle's book, along with her book, there's a guidebook that she has that you can work through, you know, begin to work through this workbook to say, is this relationship the right one? So you can pick up a copy of her book at her website, The Secrets Out site, SITE.net, or you can go over to Amazon.com and pick up the book there as well. If you want to get it autographed, buy it from Michelle's website, and I'm sure she'll send you an autographed copy. And again, I recommend this book for anybody, even married people, because there are married people listening to me right now who are in a conditional relationship, love relationship that is abusive, that is controlling, that is manipulative. And this book may be the light that you need to be shown on that situation to help you to say, do I need to pray through this or do I need to get out of this? You know, it might have the answer that you need, and I believe that God is not a God of chance, that he knows what he's doing before he does it. So you're not listening to this by chance. So, Michelle, I thank you so much for being with us. Is there anybody else who has a question? And in the chat room, I see a lot of stuff going on in the chat room, but I just want to talk to the chat room for a second and let you all know that what we're talking about here, this is real and it's serious, and that people are dying in marriages every day because they have ended up married to the wrong person. I also want to say to you, by way of testimony, that, you know, you never really know somebody, you know, even if you get to know them as well as you can, you really never know them until after you're married. So it's important for you to do due diligence now, if you're not married yet, to do your due diligence before you get into that marriage, because it can be, as in the case of Michelle's cousin, it can be life and death. It can be life or death. So be careful and, you know, really take heed to what we're saying today, because, you know, it's serious, and God wants better for you than that. God wants better for you than to be in a relationship with someone who's not worthy of you. He wants you to have life and have that life more abundantly, and that does include your relationship. This is very dear to Michelle's heart. This book, she wrote it out of the inspiration of the Holy Ghost because she had lived through watching her cousin be killed by a man who claimed to love her. And again, we had testimony in our church on Sunday. Our niece, Kia, my husband's niece, was knocked in both eyes to the point where she had to have emergency surgery. And there was a question as to whether or not she would get her sight back. So, you know, and this was a man that she had been in relationship with for a year, but, you know, he lost his job and that anger demon got a hold of him to the point where he punched her out, you know, to the point where he literally punched her lights out, to the point where it was like a matter of whether or not she would even be able to see again. And I saw people in the chat room talk about being hit in the head with frying pans. Love is not violent. Love is not violent. So we need to get this. And look, Michelle said, get yourself healed because you need to love yourself before you can even begin to love somebody else, and you need to know the love of God. Go ahead, Michelle.
Well, you know, I think that's the biggest problem, and because most people do not love themselves, they want someone to love them into who they are. And I just want to read some of the contents of the table contents here. My foreword is by Dolores Mom Winans. She's the mother of the gospel singers, you know, the Winans, BBCC, all the Winans. I ain't going to say all their names. But anyway, chapter one is Looking Through the Keyhole. Chapter two is A Gift of Love. Chapter three is Am I in Denial or Is This Deceit? Chapter four is Why So Many Lies? And then I have in there, ask yourself these questions if you're dating. And then there's a premarital inventory checklist. There's 15 essential questions to ask. Then chapter five is, the question is, who am I? I am realizing how lust disguised as love is binding, is blinding, is how it blinds you. And chapter six is the control game. What is love? The marriage statistic says. And chapter seven is born to love, to live. And then we have real love, the truth about finding unconditional love and fulfilling relationships. Then there's chapter eight, kill me with love. Chapter nine is found guilty. He found both of them dead. Chapter 10 is a workbook A. Then there's a relationship guidelines in choosing the right mate. So I give you guidelines on how to choose the right mate. And then chapter 11 is workbook B, relationship guidelines in choosing the right mate. And then there's workbook one, workbook two. Why am I asking these questions? There's a daily journal log. Workbook three is the 12 principles to a successful marriage relationship. Workbook four is questions and answers in choosing a mate. And then there's a workbook five, and why did God create man and woman? Workbook five, seven and workbook, I mean six, workbook seven. And then the conclusions of the workbook. And then there's a, you know, about the author and, you know, how to contact me and stuff like that. So basically I wanted to also tell you that when my cousin was killed, we didn't know for 9 years who killed her. So we were deceived for 9 years. And so I went 9 years basically praying. And that last year when I found out, just, you know, precariously talking on the phone with my cousin's daughter, and thank God her daughter wasn't by her husband. And he was found guilty for killing his second wife. And he basically killed his wife, his second wife, the same way he killed my cousin. That's how we know he did it. So it's just one of those things I don't think no one should have to live through, and probably changed my life totally. And so that's why I'm very adamant about relationships and talking about it. And, you know, no longer not talking about my cousin's life and what went on. I still have difficulties. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, so I'm not going to give you everything in my book. I want y'all to go read and find out what happened.
Amen. 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 So get a copy of Michelle's book. I didn't bring her on here because I didn't believe in this book. I haven't read it. You know, I'm one who goes by the spirit of discernment. I have a gift card, and I'm going to buy the book. I've been for Borders Books, and I don't know if it's available there, but I can order it. If you want to make this book blow up, even you can go to your bookstore and order the book, and they will get it. Go ahead, Michelle.
No matter where they live, wherever they live out of state, it's everywhere. They can go and order the book. So if you live in California, you live in New Jersey, just go to your bookstore and you can order it, and they'll order it and get it in there for you. So it doesn't matter where you live, you can get the book. You know, it's in Borders, online. You go to my website, as she said, michellehughes.com. You'll see there Barnes & Noble's or it's Barnes & Noble, and it's also on Amazon. So you can get the book wherever you go. So that's a good thing.
Yes, go ahead, Lauren.
There was one thing I do want to just suggest that people do that we don't do is whenever you meet someone, whether they're a person that you are going to just date for a short period of time or someone you're really considering to marry, it is very wise to make sure you go around their family and see how, if it's a man, if it's a woman, see how that man treats and talks to his mother, his grandmother, his sisters, his aunts. See how he treats his family members and vice versa. See how they interact with one another, because no apple falls far from a tree.
Yeah.
And if he mistreats his family, he will mistreat you. So if you check everything out, you know, and a lot of times you got to go, you got to do some digging, because a lot of people have moved from one location to another. You know, their family may be on the East Coast, and now they live on the West Coast, or vice versa, or someplace in the middle, and they're just around friends. So they're on good behavior all the time. But when you go and see how, or the person that raised them, how they treat them, how they talk to them, if they respond, how they respond when they ask them to do something, that will give you a good clue of how that person may treat you.
And, Lauren, that would include women, too, that men need
yes.
to go, right?
That's right. That includes women also, because there are women that are very abusive. It's not just men. There are women that are withdrawn. There are women that will not communicate. There are women that, you know, they have secrets. They have issues also. So it's for both sides, because there are men that get caught up in situations, and of course they're more reluctant to talk about what they get caught up in because they are men. But there's men that's in the same type of situations as there are that's women. We all can end up in an abusive type situation. I feel that if it's a verbal abuse, if it's a physical abuse, or if it's any type of mental abuse, you do not need it, because you're better than that. And God did not mean for any of us to be abused in any way and in any manner.
Amen. And Michelle, I have a question. Evangelist Luciano talked about the woman snooping around in his MySpace account. Is that a sign of someone being controlling?
Well, it's a person who's definitely probably been, she's been wounded by a man, probably with mistrust. So she's a very suspicious person. Because I wouldn't even let nobody know I was doing that. Women do that anyway. We do stuff.
Yeah.
You need to try, but you don't go back and tell the person. But I wouldn't tell a person.
I have to make you laugh. You know, every once in a while. Now, I love my husband. He's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful man.
You better
man.
Check up on him, okay?
Every once in a while, I go through his wallet. And, you know, I'll leave it open, and I'll let him know, my baby, I went through your wallet. He'd be looking at me like, you got issues. You still have issues, because you know what? God is in control of my life, and I love the Lord. But you know what? Every once in a while, I get in the flesh, and I really have to put this flesh under subjection. And another thing, when I met my husband, I was the one who wanted to fight him, because I had seen my father and my mother fight, and this is learned behavior. And a lot of times you go into your next relationship with stuff that you bring in out of that childhood, and that was the case. And my husband looked at me, and I thank God for the man of God. He looked at me, and he said, I don't know what kind of Negroes you've been dealing with out there. He said, but I am not going to put my hands on you. And, you know, that gave me a wake-up call to let me know that, look, everybody doesn't want to fight. I thought something was wrong with him, but it was me that had to have the adjustment made, and I had to go back to the Lord, and the Lord began to change me. That's why we talk about being transformed by the Word of God. That's the renewing of your mind when you begin to know that's not love, that's just craziness, you know. So I thank God for your book, Michelle, because it's going to help a lot of people to know what real love is. And we've been married. My husband and I have been married for 12 years. And I tell you, it's a beautiful thing. It's just a marriage is beautiful, and I highly recommend it. But it has to be after you have dealt with your issues and gotten healed. And some people, like I said, I went into marriage with issues. But God had grace, because he says, I have grace and mercy on whom I want to have grace and mercy on. But thank God for Jesus. But in some cases, you don't get that mercy. Some cases, there is no mercy.
Mm-hmm. That's because if we operate out of, disobedience, then that's what happens. If God for one warns us, and if we don't listen to that quiet, still voice, whatever we go into, we going to get it, whether it's good or bad or indifferent. And you'll find that so many men, I had another show we used to do on another type of format, and I started this thing back in September, And I had more men calling in talking about how they had been abused by their wives. And I couldn't believe it. I started laughing. And one guy said, see, you're laughing. I said, yeah, because I can't believe that women are abused. They're men. And so, and it's not funny. Really, it isn't. So I had to learn that men are being abused as well as women are being abused. So, but I was going to say that suspicion thing, that comes from past relationships not
yep.
being honorable. And
you know
when you
why?
Go through that, you got to be healed from that. And even when you, just because you've been healed, once you get into your relationship, you still have to be transformed. You still have to, now he has to build your trust to let you know that he really is different. Then you have to believe him.
Yeah. Yeah. And he does, you know, the thing about it is, you know, I really, and this is a whole nother show, but my first husband, you know, I actually was not looking for anything and found something, you know, and it was porn, you know, actually gay porn. So you never know. That's why I tell people, you never know who you're living with. Until this day, to this day, he will tell you he is not gay, that he was just looking at the reading, not looking at the pictures, God forbid, but reading the articles. But come on, the devil is a liar, you know, and I wasn't looking for anything. So in the beginning, my husband, I thank God, that man loves me. He loves me, you hear me? Because he had to go through a lot, you know, he had to go through a lot. Like, honey, are you straight? Are you straight? Are you straight? You know, but God forbid, you know, and thank God that he puts who you need to be with you, because when it's a God connection, it's a God connection, and what God has joined together, no man can put asunder. So I appreciate this topic, and we only have a few more minutes. I want to tell you to get Michelle's book, MichelleHughes.com, and that's one L, MichelleHughes.com, or TheSecretsOutSight.net. And listen to Michelle's program, Love, Sex, Marriage, and Relationships. And that is, The Secret's Out. I'm just thinking some of my ex-husband's family members might be listening, or maybe his new girlfriend might be listening to me and say, oh, boy, I didn't know that. But, you know, sometimes the secret does come out. But The Secret's Out. And her show is blogtalkradio.com/love-sex-relationships. And it's a daily program at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Lauren, who's on the phone with us, is her co-host. But see, the secrets have to come out. They have to come out. And the only way they're going to come out is if you take the time to get to know somebody in the Lord. Michelle, what do you say about that?
Well, I believe that's very true. You want to find out those secrets before you enter that, you know, that relationship, you know, that goes into a marriage. I always pray, Lord, reveal to me everything that I need to know, especially those intricate things, so we can resolve them before we get married. If you can resolve some of those crucial things that need to be resolved before you get married, then it's not as hard. It's when you go into it, and then prime example, I counseled a couple, and they called me over, and, you know, I told them, I said, oh, you know, I prayed, and it was like God was saying, oh, they this was of God. I said, but God said, wait, because there's some things you need to find out. That's all I said. She went to church, talked to her pastor. Her pastor made her put down a date as, like, next week when they were going to get married almost, okay?
Wow.
And she found out later that he had a drug problem. So,
wow.
And so I told her, I said, you know, but after she told me what her pastor said, I can't go against your pastor. You know, I thought to myself, I'm not going to go against her pastor. I'm not going to say anything. So I zipped my lips because I knew she was going to come back and regret what she did, and she did, and she ended up divorcing him later. So you don't want to go through that, people. Listen to sound word from people who have a relationship with God, and you need to have a relationship with God to hear your own problems, to hear when you are in a relationship, to hear what the person is saying, not hear what you want to hear. It's not always good to just want to hear what you want to hear. You need to hear those things that you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
Those are the things you're going to be faced with after the effect.
Yeah.
After the effect.
Yeah, because I saw it, you know, I saw the tendencies in my ex-husband, you know, the little baby, he would smack his lips like that. And
hey,
I mean, very masculine looking man, you know.
Pastor Rebecca, I just have to know. Look in the chat room, you know, sometimes you see stuff. coconut juice. Why don't you go and get you something to eat? Go tell Evangelist that she could be a crackhead.
Evangelist, be careful. You know, and I just was saying, you see the, and we have one caller. I'm going to let this caller on the air. But you see the signs. That's all I was saying. You see it, but you don't want to see it because you want to be married. Now, Evangelist, I know you want a wife. And you know one thing that you probably want to do? Stop telling people that you're looking for a wife. Because then they say you as prime game. Like, wow, I'm going to get him, you know. Yeah. So maybe if you just keep that under tap until you get to know the person a little bit better. Because this woman's telling you she's your wife. She wants to get married. 832, you're on the air. Welcome to Power of the Word.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. Hello, Pastor Rebecca.
Yes, hello. God bless you. Who's on the air? Where are you calling from?
This is Brother Dave Jones of the Dave Jones Show.
Oh, yes, okay. God bless you, Brother Dave Jones. Do you have anything to add to today's topic or a question for our author or guest?
Well, I know that we only have a few minutes to go in the show. Because I've been busy with my show, but I've been listening to you ladies, and you ladies were talking about relationships. I am a single male, and I'm not married. I'm saved, though. I'm sanctified through the Holy Ghost, and I'm not married. I guess my question is, how do I approach my life as a single male? And, you know, one day I hope that I can be able to find that lady, that Esther in my life. So I guess my question is, how do I stay focused and be able to find that Esther?
Can I give a first answer?
Yes.
Pastor Rebecca?
Absolutely.
I want to do this because, you know, God is just so awesome. What I would suggest is, as a single man, do not focus on where she is, but focus on what God has for you to do. Because what God will do for your wife, she will be hidden only for you. That means nobody else will see her. And when God wants to reveal her to you, he will reveal her to you. And then he will make a way for you to approach her. He will make a way for the two of you to connect. And he will make a way for you to marry. But if you focus on where she is and this is what I want to do, then you're off focus because your focus should be on what God wants you to do.
And I like to add, too, you know, Scripture says, you know, that, you know, you're in a position to find a woman. You know, that's your position as a man. But as Lauren is saying, as you continue to do what God's called you to do, I just believe that God will just lead you to the right person, because that's what he's going to do, because you're supposed to find a woman. And when you find that woman, you know, because you're looking for that Esther, you'll know what to look for, because he's already getting you together in the spirit to meet her spirit. And when you come together, it won't be a conflict type of thing. You may have problems to work out, issues to work out, but it won't be, you know, so confrontational that you want to say, get out of my life. No, it won't be one of those things. It'll be a peace that surpasses all understanding. I just believe that. And that's what I ask God for my own self now. And I just believe when God reveals that man to me, he's going to know me. And I just know that. I don't have to run after him. I ain't going to be, you know, doing flips, you know, all that kind of stuff. He'll know me by my spirit. And I believe that's the key, is knowing him by the spirit of truth.
And Brother Dave Jones, can I ask you a question? What are you looking for? When you are looking, because you are looking for your Esther and waiting for your Esther, and you, in order to find the wife, you're going to have your eyes open and your spirit open in order to receive her when she does come. But as you have been going forward, believing God for a wife, what are some of the things that you've been looking for?
Well, I kind of don't understand your question. Can you
clarify? What characteristics and qualities are you looking for in your wife?
Characteristics, basically, well, a spirit-filled Holy Ghost woman.
Okay.
That's number one.
Okay, and that's good. That's good. But are there other areas? You know what I find with saved people? They say that, and I know you're not finished, but we say we want a saved, filled, sanctified woman. But there's some other things you want in a woman, too. And that's the problem, too. You follow what I'm trying to say? That's a problem. Because when you know, because when we don't know exactly, see, there's certain things I don't want in a man. And when I meet men that don't have those characteristics, I don't even talk to them. Because I know I'm going to end up making that man miserable. So they may want me, but I'm like, you really wouldn't want me. I would make your life miserable because you're not for me. Because I don't like you in that way. And, you know, it's okay to say you don't like people in that way. And we just think because they sanctified Phil. So what? They sanctified Phil with the Holy Ghost. They ain't your sanctified woman or man. See, that's where we go wrong, too. So you need to sit down and start beginning to write some things down, what you like. And I
well,
need to
like,
say,
you know what?
Oh,
I already have. With
okay.
Oh, good, good.
Yes, I already have.
Okay,
and,
some
of the characteristics are hair.
Hair.
And weight. Yeah,
okay.
Hey, okay.
So you
okay.
knew what I was asking you, but you didn't really want to
exactly.
go ahead and tell us what you were looking for.
So you didn't think that was sanctified.
Yes, I'm asking you, what do you like in a woman? See, because we know what we like. We know what we like. And
do you want me to say on the air what I like?
Well, if you're saved and sanctified, I think it should be saved.
Well, he said that. That was the first thing he said. But you know what? And let me just say this, too. You know, we shouldn't get boxed in what I want. But, you know, because God said he'll give us all our needs.
Amen.
That's
good.
Okay? And so, you know, and I say that because I used to go to this extreme. I used to say, well, I didn't want to say what I really wanted because, you know, I didn't want to box myself in and get the wrong thing because of what Michelle wanted, you see. And so now I do say, you know, but God, you know what's best for me. And I think we need to preface that because, see, I like a certain type of man. I really do, and I'm not going to say what I like because then they be coming after me, and I don't do that. So God knows what I like. Yeah, don't be telling everything now. And so, but, you know, there's some things I do want, but I don't think that God is going to withhold those things that you know that you need to live with. I do believe that. Do you follow me?
Yeah. God knows what you want, and he knows what you like.
And he knows what you need.
And he knows what you need.
He knows what you need. And so, therefore, I don't think he's that type of guy that would say, well, I'm going to give her that old ugly man over there and tell her that's it. You know, I don't believe God is like that. That's what I'm trying to say. I believe God does honor. He wants you to be happy. But we can't get boxed in because if she don't have long silk hair, and then, you know, there's some.
But we could buy some
that's
hair.
That's what I was going to imply.
That's right. So
I do that sometimes. But, you know, the thing about it, Brother Dave, seriously, is that you know what your likes and dislikes are. It's just like food. You know, if you're going to have a meal, you want a meal that's well-prepared and tasty, something that you can enjoy. And I believe it's the same in some cases with marriage. You know, you want someone that's well-prepared, amen, by the Lord, you know, that their spirit has been developed and someone that you can enjoy. You know, that's it. And Marcus Boston says it's not that simple. He said, let's get real because, you know, if you're not attracted to someone, and beauty is in the eye of the beholder,
that's
but if
right.
you're not attracted to someone, then from the start, there has to be some type of attraction. It does not necessarily have to be a physical attraction.
We know, Pastor Rebecca, the chat room is, you know, they on fire up in here. But they say it has to have a good conversation and stimulate my mind, and they have to cook good, you know. And I believe that, and that's what you want God will give that to you. And I do believe God will give us, you know, the things that we desire. He said that. He'll give us the desires of our heart. And so if you desire this, And he knows that that really is your desire. He ain't going to withhold that from you. And guess what? You ain't going to withhold it from yourself. I see men, whether the men are, or the women are real spiritual or whatever, they marry the women, then they have some problems afterwards. But
exactly.
You don't want to be in that. You don't want to be in that fall, just marrying for the looks, and then the person ain't that spiritual. And then you got to live with that. So that's one thing I'm saying, is that just be equally yoked together. And that, you know, and I think that settles it all. It really does.
Well, my sister,
you know,
well, my sister, yeah, yes. Oh, well, my sister is just that. If I ask or talk to a sister, and I tell her what I'm believing the Lord for a sister with long hair, and they go, well, I mean, you all of that long hair stuff. You this and you that. I mean, that type of talk discourages me when women say that, because I mean, like, it's just that you want to believe what you want to believe for in a mate. Especially, I understand the outer appearance doesn't matter, but
it does matter. We ain't never said it didn't matter.
It does matter, because I like sisters with long hair.
Dave, can I help your brother out a little bit? Let me just say this. Really.
Yeah.
Stop telling those women who don't have no head that you want to walk with hair. Tell me, come
you
on now.
Why?
Well, how
you
do
know
you...
Why?
Really?
Go ahead,
Lauren. Lauren?
Now, they can go buy some hair.
Right, that's what I was
going
to say.
Yes.
And you know what? I'm gonna tell you something.
Absolutely.
Once they purchase that hair, that's their hair. Now, when you play in it for a little while, it might not go back in the same shape that you first saw it. Now, because you know,
yes, exactly.
Into the weed
exactly.
thing. But the thing is that the emphasis on the hair may not matter. And the reason I'm gonna say that is the reason I'm gonna say that is because I'm married. And I have a wonderful husband. God blessed me with an awesome man, and unlike my first marriage. But God knew what was best for me, because if I had to choose, see, there's some fine demons out here. I mean, fine. They are everything, all that, and some more. But when you get caught up on that and you get hooked in, they're not who you think they are.
That's
because
right.
you saw the light on the outside, but you didn't
yeah.
see what was coming from the inside out.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that are dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with a nice look. There's nothing wrong with somebody being you being attracted to them. There's nothing wrong with them keeping themselves up and putting on some smell good. I believe in all of that. And I think that all of that is very important. I believe that they should have some type of skill, some type of cleaning skills, some cooking skills. They may not have to cook all the time, but they at least know something. Because whatever they won't do for you, somebody else is standing right in the corner and will. But the whole thing is that know what God wants you to have. Know what you want, but what God gives you. Be open to receive what he gives you.
But you know what? I do believe that if he wants somebody with long hair, I believe God will honor him with that.
I believe God will honor
him
with that.
Well, what you're saying, you don't want him to get caught up in that.
Right. In the hair.
See,
because
when we get
what happens?
See, when we get caught up in that, we get the long hair, but then the spirit ain't right, she ain't right.
Right.
You know, so you just want to make sure, you know, that all of that package is together.
Everything.
It's together. Mm-hmm.
Brother
yeah,
Dave Jones, if you marry a woman, this is why we were talking about conditional love today, and I did add time. Everybody does not have to stay. Michelle Hughes, if you have to go, let me know. But this is the last 20 minutes.
I'll be on.
But Brother Dave Jones, let me ask you this question. If you get your wife with long hair and a nice figure or whatever the weight condition is that you're looking for, and you get married. Now you're married because you probably want long hair and streamlined. But you get married, and now she wants to cut her hair, and she goes to the hairdresser and cuts her hair, and then she gets pregnant and has a couple of your babies, and now it's hard to get back to that girlish figure. Now, does that mess with your happiness in your marriage or your satisfaction with your wife?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not, because I am a person that understands a woman. I'm a person that is loving, kind, and God fearing, and I want the same in that person too. But it's just that you have to have a rapport with a person. You have to have a rapport with a woman. And when you have a rapport with a woman, and if you like the same kind of things that he likes, and if he likes the same things that you like, then everything is compatible. Everything else is obsolete.
Yeah. This is messing me up, because you know why it's messing me up? Because there are so many women in the church, single, waiting for that Boaz. And then every man that I talk to, a single man that I talk to is looking for a wife. Where's the disconnect? Can somebody help me with this? Where's the disconnect?
You said there are many
single women in the church. There are so many single women in the church.
Yes, they are.
Well, first of all, the whole church thing is the biggest nucleus of the church. I mean, our women. And so we don't have a lot of men in the church unless you go to some, you know, I mean, there's a church here, Word of Faith, and there's a lot of men there. But you have to be, you know, you have to be careful with those men, because a lot of those women are coming in to find Christian women, but they're not Christians. So even if you do find a church where there are men, you can't just think that they're saved. So that's a big farce, too, because there are men who go after Christian women, but they know that they're not saved themselves, but they want a good woman. So, you know, we just have to listen. You could be walking down the street. You could be in another state and meet your Boaz. We can't limit ourselves. You know, I just think that.
No, the question. Yeah, but my question
maybe I didn't
was.
Maybe follow you.
Yeah, my question was, okay, here we have two saved men that were just on the line, Evangelist Luciano and Brother Dave Jones. So they're looking for wives. And Brother Luciano met somebody on the Internet, and, mm-hmm. you know, Brother Dave Jones is still looking for his wife. Brother Dave Jones, do you go to a church?
Yes, I do. And I was just going to say something about my church, but I'm not going to tell you what church that I go to.
Okay.
But the single women there at my church do not date other single brothers at my church.
Wow.
And I guess the reason being is because of financial status being one of them. And we'll see. I know at least three or four beautiful single women personally that I call my friends, but I don't date them. Or when I get a chance to know them, they don't date me. And the reason why they don't date me is because the money factor. You know, women like that money factor. If you don't drive a car that I like, or you don't have the type of money that attracts me, then I'm not interested in you.
Well, you know what? And actually, then I would say this: those are not the type of women you want anyway. Because if they're looking at the things that a man has. See, we don't know if you take them the way that they are, and they are obedient unto God. But see, God says, if we first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto us. So if you do that, and you may be in a pinto, but if you're obedient
today.
To God and you're obedient to Him and you're doing exactly what He has instructed you to do, He may put a wife in front of you, but they all they see is the pinto. And so you may be in a Mercedes or a Rolls Royce a month later. They don't know that. So they're the ones that's missing out, not you.
Yes.
So what God has for you, it is for you. And because of their mindset, that may not be for you. So I would focus on what God has for me. Seek the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, that all these things shall be added unto you. And these things are benefits. It's marriage, it's a home, it's a car. Those are benefits to salvation. Those are not primary, but they're the benefits that God has promised us. And so if we understand that the things are the benefits, and that the salvation is of God, then seek the kingdom, and your spirit and everything else will draw everything that God wants you to have. He'll treat you like he did Solomon. He'll give you even beyond what you could ever think, ask, and or imagine. So stay focused on God. Don't worry about it. Go to church to hear the word that will change your life, the word that will keep you in line, the word that will keep you in front of God. Do that. And everything else will fall into place for you. It may take a year. It may take a month. It may take 2 years. We don't know. But I know that if you do what God says, if you're faithful, God is faithful also.
Amen.
And you can't beat him given.
Amen. Yes. And your wife could very well be one of the ones that you're not looking at because she might not have these criteria, the physical attributes that you're looking for. So, again, that's perfect to say seek the first the kingdom of God, and God will begin to give you the desires of your heart, and not necessarily what you might want right now, but he will begin to download into your heart what you should want. I like the way that God tells me what to want, you know, so he will even begin to change that to say that, you know what, this woman may not have long hair today, but she has everything else that you need to be your wife. And hair is a matter that we can grow that or we can cut it off. So just the same way, think about this.
You women can add it on.
Oh, we can add it on because, you know, it's easy to get hair today. And just think about it like this. They're judging you because of your car, and you're doing the same thing by judging women because of their hair or maybe even the size that they are, their weight. So we have to be careful that we judge not, because in the same way that we judge, we're going to also be judged, and it's a spiritual thing. I didn't like my husband when I met him because he was square, and I was into bad boys. But I thank God that he opened my eyes and let me see that I needed somebody who was a little less bad and a little bit more square. So, and today we make perfect music together. We make beautiful music together, which is why, amen?
Amen.
That's why
Michelle's
book.
I can attest to that.
We do. We make beautiful music together, and I wouldn't have anybody but him, you know. And I used to, you know, I tell you, God knows. He knows, and he knows exactly what you need. And you know what? Marriage is for his glory. You know, when we get married, it's for the glory of the kingdom of God, because marriage represents God's relationship with the church, the relationship of Christ with the church. So when we marry someone, you know, Christ loved the church unconditionally so much that he laid down his life for her, you know, for the church. So we have to realize that when we marry someone, you're going to learn how to be married. We don't go into marriage knowing how to be married. We learn how to be with this person. We learn how to reverence our husbands, respect our husbands, and husbands learn how to love their wives. So it's a learning process. But I believe that the Lord probably has already shown you at times in your life. Has there ever been a time when you thought maybe this could be her but didn't follow through on that? Brother Dave?
Yes.
Have you had times when you thought maybe this could be her.
Well, you know, sometimes, like, in church, I'll give you an example. The church that I go to, you know, every time that, I'm involved in my health ministry at my church, and I take you, for example, a week or two ago, I am involved in this particular health ministry, which is called the Light Circle, or the Circle of Light. And myself is a facilitator, and we have different groups and that sort of thing. So we go to the back of the church after, you know, people when the pastor, you know, gives an invitation for new people to receive the Lord and stuff like that. So I'm in the back, you know, trying to be able to recruit people for my group, and there she is, the woman that I admire, but I'm trying hard to be able to like get a date with, and she's there. And she tells me hello, and I tell her hello, and then, you know, she goes about her business. And every time that I you know, see her at church, she's there. Every single time, whether it be a circle light meeting, light circle meeting, or whether it be in Sunday services, or whether it be at a church special event, she is there. And I don't know if it's God telling me something or every time I meet her, I don't know what her signal is, you know, as far as like, you know, and she knows that, and she acknowledged at church that she is believing for a man. She acknowledged that.
Did you ask her out?
Why don't we start with like a phone number, you know? Personally, I think
she doesn't give her phone number out.
So she doesn't want to.
Phone number.
Yeah,
okay.
She's not interested in you. Not
she
right
doesn't.
Now. Because I don't know how. I mean, even if I don't go out with you, I'll give you my phone number. So she's
right.
Not ready, you know. And you have to remember, does she have long hair?
She's not ready. She says that she's believing for a man of God, but she's not ready.
Yeah, especially if she's not giving out her phone number, you know. You know, that's what I would think, that she's not ready right now, and so just, you know, just hold on. You never know. Maybe down the road she may want to see where you coming from. You know, see how faithful you are to the ministry that you're over right now and stuff. So just be patient. You know, I'm like this. I'm very observant of people, and I want you to prove yourself to me too. You know, I want to see how faithful you are in handling responsibility,
right,
and things of this nature. You know, you may
well,
not
maybe
have
she
ever.
Wants, right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she wants to see how far as I go, as far as how I handle myself, as far as my walk with the Lord goes.
Exactly.
How my maturity goes as far as being a man of God is.
Exactly.
She wants to see that. Maybe she wants to see that with her own eyes, or by her
of
own
course.
Spirit, or whatever you know her criteria is, and she wants to just wait and see how my spiritual growth is.
Exactly.
Amen.
I think we jump the broom too much, and we want things like yesterday, and sometimes it takes time. It depends on what she's overcoming, where she is spiritually. And just let it, you know, when I found out, we don't have nothing but time. And just use it wisely. While you are waiting on that Esther, then continue to get your life together. Continue to try to get your life together so financially you will want to be a blessing to your mate. So this is time for you
to. And that's what I'm doing right now. First of all, I have my own international radio show.
See?
Amen.
Secondly, I have three businesses. They're not thriving businesses. But they're going to be. One is a foreign exchange investment business.
See?
The other is an internet sales business with clothing.
Amen.
And the third is a network marketing business.
So continue to get those business where they need to be, because that is a drawing force in itself. Women like men who have something. I mean, that's the bottom line. I don't want nobody who don't have nothing.
Well, amen, hallelujah. Let me tell you, my husband didn't have nothing when we got together, but you know what?
Really?
We have our house, we have our two cars that are paid for, you know, we're doing well. So, you know, you can sometimes pull together with someone. He had the Lord, and he loved the Lord. You know what he told me? He said, I will never put any woman before my God, and I will never put any woman before my sons, because he had two boys when we met. And that made me respect him. So you're right, Brother Dave. The woman might need to know where you're coming from. So another friend is not going to hurt you to befriend her and just be a friend to her and let the Lord do what he's going to do. Michelle, thank you so much. We only have five more minutes. And I want to tell everybody, go out and buy Michelle's book. This woman has great wisdom. Look, don't just listen. Go out and buy her book. Buy it today. If the people who listen to this program buy her book, then it's going to help you. It's going to help her. It's going to help the people that you're coming into relationship with. You know, it's a win-win situation all the way around. So go out and buy, support the woman of God. The name of the book is The Secrets Out, Living the Pain of Conditional Love. And, you know, I'm just really, really, I'm going to buy it today. When I said I had a gift card, I have a gift card for Borders, not from Michelle. Michelle's not giving me a free book. But I'm going to support her and buy this book because I believe in the content. And I want to maybe use it for our ministry. So if you have a ministry, even get the book and take it to your singles ministry. Take it to your marriage ministry. It's michellehughes.com or the Secrets Out site.
Yes. Can you get it on Amazon.com as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, Amazon.com. Michelle, do you have any closing remarks in this last 4 minutes?
I just think that we would do better in our relationships if we sought out getting better understanding, and the way we get understanding is by reading and learning to develop ourselves. And while we're waiting on our Boazes and our, you know, Ruths or our Esthers, whoever we're waiting on, I think that we need to prepare ourselves. And that's why I did come out with that book, because I am an avid reader. And so I would just encourage anyone at this time, if you're even considering, you know, being in a wholesome relationship, I think this is a must-read book. And not just because I wrote it, but because I did write it.
Amen.
So that's what I would say. You know, if you're considering a relationship or wanting to develop a relationship with God, I believe this is a must-read book. Yeah.
Amen. Lauren, do you have any closing comments? Brother Dave, did you want to say something?
Yeah, very quickly, I know we're running out of time for your show today. I have a radio show on Blog Talk Radio. It is www.blogtalkradio.com/Dave-Jones-JR. And my show is on every Wednesday, Thursday, and Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern. However, this week's show will be on at midnight Eastern time, due to the fact that everybody else was scheduling their shows at 10 p.m. Eastern. So the only time available was at midnight Eastern. So it'll be on this Wednesday only at midnight Eastern time. And then on Thursday and Fridays is on our regular time at 10 p.m. Eastern time. However, on a Friday show, we focus on women's issues.
Okay.
This Friday, Pastor Rebecca, I want you to call in to my show on Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, because there's an interesting topic, and it's going to be about hair.
Amen.
So,
amen. And the blogtalkradio.com/Dave-Jones-JR. JR. Amen. Praise God. And we're going to tune in to Dave's show on Friday night. Lauren, Sister Lauren, do you have any clothes? We have 1 minute.
You know what? I am okay. No, I'm fine.
Amen.
I
praise God.
I heard. I enjoyed talking to the two gentlemen that called in, and I, of course, enjoyed talking and fellowshipping with everyone else.
Amen. Praise God. And we're going to be talking about hair on this Friday on Dave Jones. But I want to thank Michelle Hughes for taking time out of her busy schedule to be with us on today and for imparting such words of wisdom to the listening audience and also to the guests that called. And I want to thank everybody in the chat room for listening to Power in the Word on today. I thank you all because you made the show a great success on today. And I just want to invite you back on Thursdays. We do Woman to Woman here on Power in the Word. I also want to direct you over to Michelle Hughes' show, which is... And, Lauren, if you can type that in for me. Michelle and Lauren co-host this program, and it is blogtalkradio.com/love-sex-relationships. And that program is on at 10 o'clock a.m. every morning. I don't know if Lauren has a chance to type that
in.
Yeah,
but we have a good show this weekend, too. This week we have a lady. Her name is Ann Bissell. And she's going to be on our show talking about the sex industry. She was a prostitute. And that's going to be aired this week only at 7:30. So join us this week, 7:30 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, Love, Sex, Marriage, Relationship Show. So this has been real. I really thank you, Pastor Rebecca. We're going to have you on our show. Guess we went over.
Yes, amen. But I look forward to being a guest on your show, Michelle. I really, really do. So let me know when, and I'll be there.
Thank you. Me and Lauren, we're going to work some things out this week, and because we're not finishing programming. I was trying to get these two people in. The other person's not going to come until next week, so we may be able to get you in there. You know, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Email me and give. I forgot to get your phone number. Email me. And give me your phone number.
Amen. I sure will. I sure will email you. And everybody, have a blessed day. We've been here for 2 hours. I pray that you've been blessed. Come back and listen to the archive. If you missed anything, it's blogtalkradio.com/power. You need to hear this whole program today and buy Michelle's book. Brother Dave, thank you so much for coming. I'll see you on Friday night.
God bless
night.
You.
Amen.
God bless you. And again, my show is at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. That's this Friday.
Amen. We will see. I will plan to be there.
We'll be there.
And Sister Lauren, we'll be there. You heard Michelle Hughes. We'll be there. And Sister Lauren, thank you so much. I love you. I love you. God bless you. Everybody in the chat room, God bless you. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Pastor.
Y'all have a blessed day, too. God bless y'all. Bye-bye.
Amen. And this has been Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you with Power in the Word. Tell somebody about Power in the Word. Go out and listen to the archive. If you miss anything, blogtalkradio.com/power. Rate this show. Rate the program so that people can know that it is something that they need to be listening to. And remember, to make the most out of every single opportunity. And also remember my brother, remember my sister, that God loves you, and so do we here at Power in the Word. Peace.
God bless.